Thank you, Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. I want to thank you for being here tonight. A church without people, it just doesn't work. And also church without God doesn't work. So we need each other. Amen. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. I want to dismiss our children to Children's Church at this time. I want to turn your attention to Isaiah, the first chapter. This is kind of a sleeper message. I don't mean that it'll put you to sleep. You shouldn't operate heavy machinery after you leave here tonight or sign any contracts. But I don't mean it that way. What I mean is you could miss the revelation of what God is saying tonight because it's so easy to miss it. But I will guarantee you, if you put these principles in effect, it will change the way you serve God. It really will. I finished this message at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and God really spoke to me concerning these things, and I think it'll help you. It's helped me. Isaiah chapter 1, starting in verse number 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye, being willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." If ye be willing and obedient. You see, you have to be willing first before you can be obedient. There are many people who are not obedient to the word of God because they're not willing. It doesn't matter what is said, what is read, they're not going to change, you see. It says in verse number 20, "But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And then Matthew 21, and verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and he went." So he went to the son. He said, "Listen, I want you to go in the vineyard and I want you to work." And he said, "No, I'm not going to." But then afterwards, he changed his mind. He repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, "I go, sir." And he went not. "Yeah, I'm going to do that." And then never did. Verse 31. "Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Verily I say unto you that the publican and the harlots go in to the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publican and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe on him." There's something about responding to the word of God. It's not always easy. When I came into the church, I saw a bunch of rules. I saw some separation issues. And then I had to make a decision. I knew it was the will of God because it was in the Word of God. But I could say, "Yeah, I believe all that," and then never do anything about it. Or I could just wait for God to change my mind. And you know, it's amazing how God has us in His school, and little by little, we start to conform to His will, not our will. It's like lifting weights. Some of you men have lifted weights and you start out with the little ones and they're a little harder, and then after a while it's not too bad at all, and then all of a sudden, click, click, more weights. That's the way it is with God. He's gotten a whole lot out of me, a lot more than I ever thought he could, but he's done it on a gradual basis to the point where, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We ask your anointing. That God, your anointing would flow from this pulpit to every pew and every person. God, that we'd understand what your will is and how wonderful it is to be in the will of God. Bless as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We are all emotional beings. This morning was probably one of the most emotional services that I have been in a long, long time. People were dancing before the Lord and weeping before the Lord and worshiping God. And we tried to stop the song service a couple of times, and it just went on and on. And God spoke to us three times in the gifts of the Spirit. It was just awesome because we're an emotional people. We love that. We love that God interacts with each and every one of us, you know? If you came out of a denominational church, there wasn't any interaction with God. It was just a one-man show, and you kind of watched everything that went on. Well, that's not fun being a spectator. I'd rather be a participant than a spectator. We function more through our feelings than we do with anything else. Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land, not conditional on how we feel, but our willingness in order to obey. Many times our feelings override the facts. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel that way. Well, does it really matter how you feel? Does it override the very fact and the principle of God's word? Like that should make a difference? Well, God, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like going into the field. I consider myself an emotional person. I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God, and I'm grateful for that. I'm never embarrassed when I break down. Several times I had lunch or dinner with Brother and Sister Littles last week, and while I was talking with them, my wife was at the table, I just break down and I start weeping, talking about the things of God. My emotions flowed from the facts that I believe that were true in the Word of God. That's why I felt the presence of God, because I was talking about the will of God in his book. If you don't care about the will of God in this book, you will never feel the emotion of God that he wants us to feel. And my emotion joined me, but they were not essential to the reality of the Word of God. If we're waiting for an emotion to overwhelm us so then we respond to the Word of God, it's just not going to happen, because first of all, it has to be the reality of the Word of God and the fact that is in the book before God will reward us with the emotions that we so desperately want to feel. None of us go to work because we're emotionally ecstatic about it. None of us, you know? But if you can't go to work, you know what you're going to do? You're going to call your employer and say, hey, listen, I've got. At about an hour before service, I start getting phone calls. And I am so grateful for those who feel obligated enough in order to let their pastor know that they're not going to be able to be there. You go to work because you know it's right to support yourself and your family. You go to church because you know it's right and it supports your beliefs and your family. We all get emotionally drained from time to time, you know, especially because we're in Pentecost. It is then that you make a choice to worship God and do what is right because he is worthy to be praised, not because you feel like you need to praise God. And my emotions then start to catch up with the things that I know to do, which is right. Glory to God. I mean, this message will preach to somebody. The danger is that if we operate on emotion only, we would have quit serving God a long time ago. Because I've had people come to me and say, well, you know what, I just haven't felt the presence of God for a long time. And, you know, what's the sense of coming to church anyway if I'm not going to feel the presence of God? Well, have you applied the Word of God? Have you done the will of God? If you've done the will of God, if you've sacrificed and you have separated yourself and you have conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You'll never walk in here and not feel the presence of God. Would you turn to Philippians, the second chapter? Philippians chapter 2, and starting in verse number 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, would you say God? For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in the world because you have obeyed and not rebelled. Verse number 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, God has been working in us to cause us to do things that we didn't want to do in the first place. You know, you people go to church three times a week. You give 10% of your income. You stand for a half an hour in song service. No, you see, it's God that worketh in us the will to do the things that we do because we wouldn't normally do those things, but God has put it within our heart and within our being in order to do those things. God has changed my will from what it was before I received the Holy Ghost to what it is today. Ezekiel 36 and 27 says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Because of the Spirit of God that is in us has changed our perspective of what's good and what isn't. It is God that gives us the will to serve him. And the more we respond to the Word of God, the more our will changes to his will, you see. David said in Psalms 100, I will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I will serve the Lord with gladness. I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. I will do these things because he's worthy. His mercy endureth forever. That's why. Not because I feel like it. David, a man after God's own heart, wasn't just responding to what he felt, but what he knew to be true. The Lord is good. Why do you do? The Lord is good. Why do you? The Lord is good. God's promises are not contingent on us getting goosebumps in church. Now, I love goosebumps in church. I love to feel the presence of God. Let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I will never doubt. You surely brought me out. Let me feel your spirit one more time. But they are not essential for receiving what I need from God. And the problem is, if we deal so much with emotion that we think if we don't feel something in every service that God has rejected us, we're put on the adoption list, you know? And nothing can happen until we start to feel the presence of God. Would you turn to Exodus, the 15th chapter? Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. It says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth these. I wonder how many times God has prompted me to do his will, and perhaps I haven't. And I have to be more cognizant of that. Each of us can affect our entire church by our attitude and by our actions, by using our own will the wrong way, because I just don't feel like this or I don't feel like that, when that's got nothing to do with what we should do in response to the Word of God and to the God we love. When we will not praise God until the right atmosphere gets us in an emotional state, well, that's wrong, because we're waiting for when we get into that second dimension of God before we really start to worship God. You know, maybe the reason we haven't got there is because people just don't worship God and then let the emotion follow. Church, God always takes notice of where we are and what we do in every service. You can be any part of this building, and God is watching you to see how have you responded. What is your will in comparison to his will? When Jesus entered into Simon's house and Mary washed his feet with her tears, Jesus took notice that Simon had not given him a kiss. Simon had not taken any water in order to wash his feet. There wasn't anything that made Lot's wife turn around except her own will. She knew what God said, don't turn around, but it was her will, her stubbornness, her rebellion that says, I'm not going to do it, you see. Our human will is far superior and more powerful than our emotions, and our human will needs to override our emotion all of the time. King Saul disobeyed the word of God and then tried to blame the people. Well, the people wanted to do it when God said, no, no, I know it was your will in order to do these things. You know, God's a whole lot smarter than us. We cannot hide anything. We can fool a lot of people, but we can't fool God. But God doesn't accept that, because he knew that King Saul willed to do it. And sometimes we say, well, I can't do that because of this, and it really is our own will. God is capable of every miracle, but he will not override man's will. I wonder how many times I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm praying that God is just going to change him or change her. And I know that we can influence God's presence in people's life, but God will never override the will, the freedom of choice that each and every one of us. We cannot demand God change them right now, because God's given them a freedom. Otherwise, we would be like robots, and we give no value to God except our free will. We can pray for people, but they need to align themselves with the will of God before there's going to be blessing in their lives. Take your Bibles to a very familiar scripture, Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is the will of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the perfect will and acceptable will of God is to transform your mind, conform to what God loves, and then you find that the grace of God comes upon you. Our emotional downtimes try to trip us up and hold us hostage from time to time, and every one of us go through it from time to time, where we have these emotions because of circumstances in our life, to the point of declaring, what's the use? We can't let our emotions run our lives. They must be held in check by what we know is right. Don't let your emotions control your life. Let the Word of God control your life, and you will be so much better. You will be more content. You will be more satisfied when you don't know that's what the will of God says. I know what I'm feeling right now. I've got some hurt. I've got this. I've got that. But you know what? I know what the Word of God says. What if every time we prayed, God would respond with this great, mighty, rushing wind in our life? Wouldn't that be great? Glory to God. Or there would be this tongue of fire that would rest upon our heads. And people say, ooh, he's getting a hold of God over there. I can see that. There's a tongue of fire on his head, you know. Well, we wouldn't ever have a problem of missing prayer, would we? You know? But many times we go to prayer and we feel like we're locked in a deep freeze someplace. We're in church, so you might want to be truthful. Sometimes we open our mouth and it seems like the words go nowhere, or you hear in your mind say, shut up, you hypocrite. You don't have a right to say anything to God. You know how you've been living. Listen, every time you open your mouth in honesty and in sincerity, the presence of God is with you. Whether you feel God or you don't feel God, you're a child of the King. And when you open your mouth, it's not E.F. Hutton that listens, but it's God that listens, you know. Never judge the power of your prayer just because you don't feel something when you're praying. Don't wait for the atmosphere of the church to set the tempo or level of your spirituality, because you're the one who sets the tempo and the level of your own spirituality based on the will. Are you willing? Are you willing? Church is really a refueling station, a time of refreshing, a place for injured people to get healed and saved. But my level of spirituality is determined after the lights go out and I walk out of this building. That's where it's determined whether or not I'm really spiritual, because, you know, you're not out there in the parking lot doing song service, but immediately God is watching to see whether or not you're in His will or you're in your will. Whether it's young people or whether it's old people. After Samson lost his power, after he sinned, and Delilah had a barber come and cut his hair, he shook himself and, boy, I don't feel anything anymore. He thought, you know, surely I've been feeling the presence of God all of the time. But when he sinned, he shook himself and there wasn't any feeling. Sometimes we know we've been involved in something and we still expect to feel the presence of God. Here's the mercy of God. We go out and do something. If we willfully sin after we come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice but a fiery judgment. And you know what? When somebody goes out and knows they're doing something that it's getting real quiet in here, and they know they're doing something they shouldn't, and then they come in next Sunday or Wednesday and they still feel the presence of God, that is the mercy of God in their life. That isn't God saying, oh, well, that isn't that important. Because God is trying to draw you back to the place where you were to do the will of God instead of doing what you feel you ought to do. Samson then became a slave to the Philistines and was kept in a dungeon, but then he decided it's his will to pray. Oh, I don't think, with his eyes put out and and at a mill grinding out grain, he felt like, woohoo, love that God. No, but he made a decision. You know what? Things are not going to get any better until I start talking to my God. And so he did. Lord, restore unto me what I've lost. He didn't deserve God's mercy, but in his will, he wanted to be restored. No music, no saints praying for him, no emotion, just his will to be restored to his God. And God said, did I hear somebody pray? Samson, I was just waiting to hear from you. So things aren't going well for you. Your emotions don't want to pray, but you will know that you need to pray. And as you pray, because your knowledge of the scriptures and the facts that you have in your mind, suddenly your emotions show up. When you do what you know is right, according to the scripture, now all of a sudden the emotions show up and you begin to cry and you start feeling the presence of God. And then all of a sudden words start coming out of your mouth that you have never learned. When emotion catches up to your will, well, you want to pray then, you see. There's a combination of the two. But you're not going to get that emotion if you're not. You know what? There are a lot of churches who try to duplicate what we're doing right here. Somebody said this morning, you know what? Camp had nothing in comparison to what we had here this morning. And there are some who will play the same songs and even go through the same emotion. But if they are not doing the will of God, if they are not conforming to this book, folks, we're not going to have the same rendition. We're not going to have the same atmosphere. There's not going to be the same anointing that comes down. Because you can't fool God. You can't play church. You can't fake it until you make it. Samson asked the child to lead him to the pillars of this great hall. He puts his hand against the pillars, and you know the rest of the story. He pushed on the pillars, and the roof of this great hall came down, and he killed more Philistines because of his will than all of the Philistines he did because he shook himself and felt the presence of God. Sometimes we feel powerless because we're not feeling that emotion of God when we're in the absolute will of God and we have more power than we could possibly imagine. If we use our will and knowledge of God, not just emotion, it can lead you to the very foundation of the things that is holding you hostage, that you can pull down the strongholds that are keeping you from God, because you know that's right, I'm going to do it. And then all of a sudden you're delivered from the stronghold and the emotions and the habits and the problems that you've had, because you're not going to do it because I feel something, you're going to do it because you know it's right. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 2, it says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're like Samson. You know, we've had problems, but when we are in the will and the obedience of God, God puts us at the pillars and we just push them down. And now the strongholds, the mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds within our life. We're wondering, how can I get the victory? How can I get beyond this thing? Well, maybe you need to just conform to the will of God, and God will lead you to the pillar, push it over, and all of a sudden I'm free from the Philistines, which have taken you captive. We can't do that by simply leaning on our emotions. When Jesus encountered the devil in the wilderness, he didn't use emotion, he used, "It is written." It's the logic of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God that doesn't change, and my emotions can run rampant from one place to another based on what I hear. And that's why you gotta really take heed to what you allow into your ear gates and your eye gates. Because all you need is some well-meaning person to come in and drop some garbage into your head, and then all of a sudden your emotion goes from here down to there. Hallelujah. Is this going to be edifying? Well, if it's not, don't tell me. Because I'm guarding my emotions, you see. I'm guarding my spirituality, you see. When Jesus encountered the devil, you know what he used. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he battled with his emotions because he already knew what he was going to have to go through. But he said in Luke 22 and 42, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Jesus said in John 6 and 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." You know, our greatest challenge is just to conform to the will of God. Please hear me. The corruption of the human will is the root issue of all evil. When people no longer want to conform to the will of God, then evil enters into their life. There are people, you know, there's a word that my mother used to use and her mother used to use and her mother's mother used to use, and it's the word, "Shame on you." You ever hear that anymore? No shame on you anymore, because people don't look at the will of God as something that they need to conform to. Conform to pleasure. Conform to the majority. Conform to this idea or that idea, but not conform to what the will of God is. And so the corruption of the human will is the root of all evil. Therefore, the correction of man's will is the root for all good. And what happens is when we come into the church, we exchange our will for his will, and now all of a sudden we're open to the goodness of God instead of the corruption of the world. Repentance is simply correcting the will of man. That's all it is. It's a turning around and saying, "No more my will. It's thy will be done." And God said, "Oh, man, that is the best thing that I've ever heard." But then 10 years down the road or 10 months down the road, we can revert back to our will instead of his will. And all of a sudden, we're not in the favor of God any longer. Sin perverts our will. What we once thought was wrong now doesn't seem so bad anymore. The will has been perverted and change back to our will. And that's why there is such a demand from God in repentance, because repentance rectifies the will to line up with God. And so this is not something you do just before you get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. This is something that you do on a regular basis. You say, "God, I'm sorry, if this was not in line with your word or your will, please correct me now so I can be in that perfect will of God," and therefore the emotions start to catch up with what we're doing is right. I want greater services in this place. I want a greater move of God in this place. But the only way that is going to happen is for us to conform to a greater degree to the book that we have here. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You can say, I'm sorry, but that won't change your will to do good. It won't. See, you're sorry because you got caught, or you're sorry that somebody found out about it. You know, sorry isn't changing. Just sorry is, well, it didn't work for me, you see. Take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Second Corinthians 7 and verse number 8, it says, for though I made you, now this is Paul talking to the church at Corinth in a letter, his second letter to them. You know, they had some problems as we heard this morning. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Well, some things bothered you because of this letter. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after your godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So God's saying, you know what, if you're really sorry, then you're going to change your mind. You know? I shouldn't have done. Okay, all right, if that's the case, then you're never going to do that again. And then, you know, what God's going to do is he's going to put his will in you so you don't have trouble with that area anymore. Hallelujah. I've had people say to me over the years, pray for me to get rid of this habit of mine. And here's what I've responded, no, I'm not praying for you to get rid of your habit. I'm not going to do that. You already know what's right. And God won't deliver you unless you take steps in order to overcome it and do it yourself. Oh, I just want to be delivered. Okay, well, take some steps to be delivered of it. You know, and then God truly will deliver you of this thing. But don't have 100 saints praying for you that you change your mind. No, you are the one that has to change your mind and repent. Hallelujah. Take a look at Luke 12 and 47. Luke chapter 12. And verse 47 says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, folks, I'm not telling you that God is going to beat you with a whole bunch of stripes, but he made it very clear that this servant knew what the will of God was, but then, I'm not going to do it, you see. You know, when God has never asked us to do something that would hurt us or that he wouldn't give us the power in order to do. But every time we conform to the will of God, there's always this reward. James 4 and 17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The prodigal son willed to leave the farm, no emotion involved. He just made a decision. Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. You know what? I don't like the restrictions at the house. So Dad said, okay, that's your will. You know, I don't worry so much about the enemy of our soul pulling us out of the church or anything else, but I worry about our own will because I have the capabilities of walking away from this anytime, and that scares me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, but you'll notice in Romans, the 8th chapter, it doesn't say your own will, because you can will to walk out of here anytime you want, and plenty of people have. But the pig pen brought him to the reality of repentance. Ever see anybody who has left God and then you see him about 10 years later? and they've aged about 30 years.
Yes.
You know, the way of transgressors' heart, not the way of the sage. Hallelujah. And so the pig pen brought him to the reality that changed his will to come home. But he had to get to the place where he said, you know what, I had it better where I was. And then God changed his will and said, hey, I'm going home. I'm going home. I will admit to you that there have been times that I have dragged myself to this church. I have. I didn't feel like coming to church. I had so many problems that it would take three people to take care of all of the dumb stuff that I had to deal with. And sometimes you get so emotionally overloaded that you say, hey, I don't know if I can deal with one more situation, but then I put on a happy face to minister to good people and maybe some not so good people. Here's the shocker. I never feel like paying bills. Isn't that amazing? Glory to God. But I really like living in my house. Sometimes you may not like coming to church, but I do love the blessings and the provisions of God. Because I know that doing what's right will always, always, always bring the blessings and the provisions of God, the protection of God in my life. And the fact of the matter is you can even do the will of God without feeling the presence of God. I have knowledge that overrides the emotion because facts of God are greater than feelings of God. When Jesus asked Peter in John 21, lovest thou me, Peter? I mean, he asked them three times, do you love me, Peter? And Jesus wasn't asking if he had a great emotional feeling towards God. You know, I have a great emotional feeling towards my wife, my family, for the saints of the church. Because he wasn't asking them about the emotional part because Peter had just left Jesus and then he turned back and he went fishing. So truly, Peter didn't have this great emotion for Jesus if he left the church and went back to his old occupation. What Jesus was asking was, are you willing to love me? Are you willing to conform? Are you willing to feed my sheep? Because if you're willing, well, then we're going to build up this emotion. Yeah. We're going to have feelings for each other. Yeah. You know, I remember back in 1963 when I made that phone call to Jane Schultz. I said, would you like to go on a date? Well, if she wasn't willing, she wouldn't be sitting here. I probably wouldn't be standing here tonight, but there had to be a willingness before there ever was any kind of emotion. Are you willing to come to church? Are you willing to come to a Bible study? Are you willing to get more knowledge of God? Lovest thou me, Peter? And God is asking each of us tonight the same question. Will you love me regardless of your feelings, regardless of your circumstances? Because I want to bless you based on your knowledge. Hallelujah. There are some that feel like, well, we're just going to have a great old time. We're going to worship God, but we're not going to really get in too much depth of the Word of God because that only divides us. It causes us to take positions one way or the other, and that's going to interfere with the love that we have for one another. You fool. If you don't find out what the will of God is, you'll never fall in love with God. You'll never have an emotional experience with God ever. Hallelujah. So I want to be very careful. I want to be very careful that I line up my will with His will and conform to the image of God. Because if I can do that, the Bible says, I'll never fall. You keep me from falling. Keep myself in the love of God. Glory to God. One more scripture. in Jude. Jude 21, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking unto the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments of spotted with flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. How do we keep from falling? Keep yourself in the love of God. And how do you do that? Start reading his letters. Is that what you want me to do? Is that what you want? Glory to God. There was a time in the mid-80s where I had a number of men working for me and hired them. And I remember having some conflict because at the onset of hiring them, I didn't make it very clear as to what I wanted them to do and what was going to happen in the future. And so they were thinking one thing, I was thinking another thing. But you know what? If everything is down in writing, there isn't any question. I know exactly what the will of God is because I know the book. Amen. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I know this isn't a hallelujah, praise the Lord kind of message, but I'm telling you, it'll keep you. It'll keep you from falling. Amen. Opinions aren't worth much. Crowds, well, they can influence, but only the Word of God can make a difference in our lives. And I want to stay with it. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?